Welcome, everyone, to the Christian Bible Study Ministry podcast. I hope that you are all blessed as you listen to this program, and I always say that even if you don't realize that you are blessed if you belong to Jesus Christ. And I hope that this past Easter was a blessed one for you all. I know it was for me. I honestly took a chance to get away from the crowds, especially dealing with a lot of people at work. I just took time to reflect on Jesus in solitude, and I found it to be very beneficial myself. Today we are going to be studying a controversial topic, a topic which is often debated within the church. The subject of the rapture, or more specifically, what is the last trump? And there's so many different opinions on the rapture, you know, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, no rapture, etc., you know. But something caught my attention in studying this, and it is the mention of the last trump. So we're going to look at that today. And we're going to cover, I believe, a few different passages of Scripture. So we are going to first read the passage where this last trump is mentioned. And so now we will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 51 through 52 here. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So what is this trump again? I will show you during this program what I think this trumpet is, and I believe that it symbolizes or is meant to be the last trump of a Jewish festival, and I have included a sound, or the sound of that particular trumpet, here in at the beginning of this program. And so we're going to look at that. And, you know, I have seen to where a lot of people believe that the last trumpet referred to here is it is the last trumpet in the book of Revelation, you know, and we're going to look at this. And I think, so before we get into talking about what I believe is the correct view here, I feel like we need to go and look at what the book of Revelation says about its last trumpet. So what is the last trumpet in Revelation? It signals the end of the trumpet judgments, proclaiming that the kingdom of the world is now the kingdom of Christ. Three bowls are poured out with awful sores plaguing those who have the mark. The sea life is destroyed, and the rivers and springs are all poisoned as well. So this is the last trump in Revelation is the culmination of God's judgment on us. And some believe it is at this point that the church is removed from the earth. This would be at the very least, a mid-tribulation rapture. It will be a mid-tribulation rapture, I believe, before the Great Tribulation. It should be noted, however, that Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians, and, you know, Paul would not have known of what John would see, because John came along about those 40 years or so after Paul was dead. So neither Paul nor his audience would have known what John would have seen. You know, so they wouldn't have known what John would have even meant by this. However, his audience was familiar with something called the shofar. And this is the trumpet that I have mentioned. The shofar is the trumpet which is sounded during the Feast of Trumpets. It is sounded at the end of the day, at the end of the festival by a long, loud blast. It's actually sounded during the festival a total of 100 times. The 100th blast is the longest and loudest of these. And the Feast of Trumpets, that is why the Jews called this the Feast of Trumpets. And if you're not familiar with Judaism, I don't know how familiar you are with Judaism, but there are a total of seven feasts that are celebrated in Judaism, and we know of these from the Old Testament. And when you look at these festivals, and we're going to name all these festivals and briefly name how they associate with Jesus Christ, it is interesting to see how Jesus fulfilled all of these. And so we're going to start, you know, by going through these. The Feast of Passover, which, you know, we hear about in the book of Exodus, Passover was the feast where, you know, the blood was put on the doorposts and things like that. That was to symbolize the future freedom that we have from sin. It, back then, it was more immediately tied to celebrating Israel's freedom from Egypt. But what it actually meant in the long run is that Jesus was going to die for us to set us free from our sins. This was done in the book of Exodus, this Feast of Passover. It was fulfilled by the death of Christ. Then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which points to Christ's sinless life, you know, because the Jewish bread, it could not have any leaven in it. Leaven was, if it had leaven, it was considered to be imperfect. It was blemished. They couldn't eat it. It was unclean food, essentially. So, but Jesus lived a totally sinless life. So he was clean, totally pure. This is what the Feast of Unleavened Bread was meant to teach us. The Feast of First Fruits pointed to the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus was the very first to die and rise from the dead. He is the symbol or the type, I guess you could say, of what is to happen to us. We are saved and born again through his blood, through our faith in his blood. And so when we die and are resurrected, or even when we're taken up in the rapture, we are transformed, and I guess you could say in a way resurrected to a form which can go to heaven. Now, the Feast of Weeks, the Weeks of Pentecost, points to the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of the church. You know, this is where, in an earthly sense, you know, earthly spiritual sense, the Lord began to inhabit each of his people here with his Holy Spirit. We receive, starting at the Feast of Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus had promised us. He said, I'm going to go back to my Father, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you a comforter to be with you always to the end of the age. So then we arrive now at the Feast of Trumpets, which is where I believe we are at now. The Feast of Trumpets will be fulfilled by the sounding of the last trump. And what this means, it simply means that this current age is over with. And I think it's interesting, if you remember, Jesus tells us before he left, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we know that Jesus will be with us, the church, until we are raptured up. And then that way, you know, he won't have to be with us here, because we'll be with him up there in, you know, in heaven. So then we go on to the Day of Atonement. It symbolizes the second coming. This is when Jesus Christ is going to come to the earth, and he will reclaim the world which was stolen by the devil. You know, you remember, the devil is the prince of this world. You know, he has been essentially already cast down to this realm here. So he has control and influence over this world. Well, when Jesus comes back, that's going to end. That is going to change. Jesus Christ is going to reclaim that which is rightfully his. And that's when the Jews, who largely rejected him in the first place, will come to repentance and come to faith in him. Excuse me, y'all, again. I'm sorry. Okay, now we're back again. The Booths, or the Feast of Booths, or some, I think it's also called the Feast of Tabernacles, points to the dwelling of the Lord coming among his people. You know, he is in the new heaven, the new earth. He is not going to be dwelling in any temple. You know, he's not going to have to indwell us, I believe. I can say that, because he is going to be there among us, ruling from his throne in Jerusalem. So these last three feasts have not yet been fulfilled. We are in the middle of the Feast of Trumpets, I believe, right now. And so once that ends, that is, you know, that is when the rapture is going to happen, and we are going to be raptured up, and that is when those who are left behind, those who become saved after the rapture, they are going to have the misfortune of going through the tribulation. They're going to have the fortune of being saved and being born again, but they are going to have to suffer some pretty awful stuff, some pretty awful persecution. And I know there's probably a lot more that I could say about this subject, timing of the rapture. I do, however, firmly believe that the last trump that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, it makes the most sense if you say that this is a reference to the shofar, the blowing of the last trump, the last blow of the shofar to signal the end of that feast. I think this makes the most sense here. And, you know, the rapture might happen today, it might happen tomorrow, it might not happen until years from now. That's up to God. You know, he alone knows the timing on this. And so, in a way, I want to say that right now you have two different things that can happen to you as a lost person. You can be saved now and then potentially be raptured up. You can be saved now and die, and then you won't have to worry about the rapture or tribulation because you'll be with Christ anyway. The third thing that can happen is if you're lost and the rapture happens now and you're saved after that, it's a good thing that you are saved, but you will unfortunately have to witness the worst period in the entire history of the earth. And there's going to be persecution. The book of Revelation tells us that, as well as does the book of Daniel. People are going to be beheaded for their faith. The world government is going to come under the complete control of Satan. So, you know, you don't want to have to deal with that. And so why take a chance? You know, if the Lord's drawing you to salvation today, go ahead and accept him, you know, because you don't know. You might die today after rejecting that, and then you have no hope whatsoever. So I urge you and implore you just to go ahead and accept him today. And he will be with you always to the end of the age. And, you know, I want to pray this, Lord, right now. I pray that if there's anybody listening to this program who is not saved, I pray that they would accept your spirit into their life, the spirit of your son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and died for our sins and rose from the dead. And Lord, I pray that this program has been enlightening to at least one person out there. I pray that this has been an enlightenment to them. I know it has been to me. And I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.